Philippians chapter 3. After a while, I'm going to share a little bit of an article that I read this afternoon out of the Sword of the Lord. I came by my office this afternoon, and the Sword of the Lord was in my box out there. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, sometimes I read, and sometimes I don't read much out of a paper like that. But just for some reason, I just wanted to rest a little bit this afternoon and relax. And I just kind of laid it down and actually laid down, took a nap. And then I got back up and began to look at this for tonight. And immediately, the Lord showed me why that I read that article. And there's some things I want to share out of that tonight, and I think you'll see before we get done. We're going to read two verses of Scripture tonight. Let me go ahead and back up to verse 17. We'll read about five verses. Brethren, he said, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping. I hope you underline that in your Bible, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I remember years and years ago, my wife and I talked about this, but years and years ago, I heard a man preaching on the radio. And I'm not going to judge the man, because sometimes all of us are guilty of maybe saying something in a manner that don't maybe come across just right, but this man, I think the phrase "praise the Lord" was just kind of part of his preaching. You know, some people will just, as they're preaching, they'll say, "Say amen, say amen, say amen." You know what I mean, or something like that. But he made the statement that you know, and it was a true statement. But he said, "If you don't get saved, if you're not born again, if you don't come to Christ, you're going to hell." Praise the Lord. And that just don't come across right, does it? See what I mean? I think Paul was weeping over people going to hell. Even the enemies of the cross, it broke his heart. Brother Wayne, when you go in that jail, some of them guys are harder than a flint rock. And some of them probably ain't never going to change. But it still breaks your heart when you know that they're going to lift their eyes in the region of the damned. And I tell you, in a town like Kingsport, they're not just going to go to hell from prison. They're going to go to hell from church pews. They're going to go to hell. I'm telling you, some of them are poor, some of them are rich, but without Jesus, they're all going to be in a place of destruction. The Bible said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's why the Holy Spirit had me to back up and read that. You'll understand it all in a minute. I've already taught these three verses the last time we were together. You'll understand in a minute. Who mind earthly things. And then he said, for. In other words, that ties it again. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Excuse me. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So I want to try to, tonight with the Lord's help, concentrate on these last two verses here, verse 20 and verse 21. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the prayer meeting and for these that have gathered and the interest, Lord, that we have collectively in the precious Word of God. And God, I know tonight, because of work schedules and different things that go on, not everybody's able to come every time in prayer meeting. But thank you, God, for those that are so faithful. And I pray, Lord, your richest blessings on this gathering tonight. I pray, Lord, tonight that You would be with those, Lord, that are in trouble physically, needing a healing touch. I pray, God, you'd touch them. Help them tonight. Lord, I pray most of all tonight for those that are in trouble spiritually. Lord, with a holy God, I pray, God, tonight you touch them. Show them the error of their way. Show them the old rugged cross. God, give them grace to trust Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen and amen. The Word of God uses a word here. And I thought it's not to impress, but when we use the word conversation in our day, we're talking more like a discussion between two people. And the word conversation here in the King James Bible comes from a Greek word, and politema. It looks like polite uma, but it's pronounced, I looked it up, politema. And it means a community or a citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what is being portrayed here in the Word of God. I think a songwriter years ago wrote a song, I'm a citizen of two worlds. And I believe that's true tonight for the child of God. Amen. That we have a citizenship that's in heaven. And of course, we're citizens of the United States of America. And I heard a man on the radio the other day. He said he was to the place where he's almost ashamed to be called a citizen of the United States of America. And what he was referring to was Planned Parenthood and all that's being exposed about what they're doing. And the selling of the baby parts and the sin that's involved. But anyway, we are citizen of two worlds. Our conversation is in heaven. I studied this out a little bit, and here in verse number 20, when it says our conversation is heaven, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and they would understand a little bit what he was trying to portray, because Philippi was a Roman colony that was located in Macedonia. And they were brought under the Roman rule in 168 B.C. But then Paul visited this Roman colony that was founded by Augustus around 42 B.C. So it's not a real old Roman colony, but they would understand that even though they were in Macedonia, because of their affiliation with Rome, they were citizens of another land. And I read this, the colony outside the mother country with certain specified rights. I'll say this to you and I tonight as citizens of heaven. We're outside of our mother country. But thank God we have some rights tonight. Amen. Let us therefore, the Word of God said, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We're here in this world, but we're never alone. Our Savior goes with us, and He said, I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. So Paul said our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. And he said, in heaven, that's where we're from whence. In other words, Jesus, when he left, the Word of God said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven will so come in like manner. The same place he went to, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so Paul is saying, our citizenship is not here, it's there. By the way, I can't make that statement without thinking about Hebrews chapter number 11. They were citizens of another country.
They were looking for another country. Abraham was looking for another city. And the Word of God said that many of those that were slain and many of those that lost their lives, the Word of God said this, of whom the world was not worthy. Hallelujah. To live in such a manner, to reflect our citizenship which is in heaven. Then from also, whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. Amen. And the world wants us to believe that all the steeples point up and all the religions point to God, but that's just not so. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He's the only way and the only truth and the only life that is eternal. Amen. Jesus is. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 7, so that you become behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to, give you some things tonight, talking about waiting, and He is coming from heaven. Our citizenship's over there. About what can we do while we're waiting? Amen. You go in a waiting room at the doctor's office, and there's normally some magazines scattered around, and I'll be going to the dentist in the morning, and they've even got a TV on the wall right there in the waiting room. What they want to do, and thank God there are still some places where a Bible's laying around in the waiting room. Amen. I like that. But what they're wanting to do is while you wait, they're wanting to give you something to occupy your mind, to occupy your time. How many believes while we wait that God has some things for us to occupy our mind and occupy? That's why He said, occupy till I come. And in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Ain't that good tonight? We're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? Listen to me tonight. Have you ever heard somebody say, I feel closer to people at church, to the family of God many times than I do to my own family? I'm going to tell you, there's a tie, beloved, listen, with the fellow citizens of the saints that this world don't know nothing about, that the natural man's blood can't provide. Amen. There's a common ground at Calvary, and there's a common homeland, a common citizenship for the saints of God. The Bible said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:6, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, I thank God tonight for our Lord, for our homeland. I thank God for the house of God. I don't know. You tell me. You tell me how people can stand up and say, I'm a child of God and have no need of the house of God. You tell me how. I'll tell you, you can find people tonight that their body is not able to get to the house of God, but their heart's still here. Are you listening to me tonight? People that love the church and love to meet with God's people, and then their hearts are broken because they're no longer able to come to the house of God. Thought about Preacher Hawkins up there in the ICU. He said, please, y'all, let me get my clothes. He said, just let me go to prayer meeting. He said, I'll come right back after prayer meeting. I say, hallelujah. They might have had something down at the prayer meeting to help him more than ICU would anyway. Amen. I'm not against medicine. Don't get me wrong. But listen tonight. It's just wonderful to be a fellow citizen with the saints of God. The Bible said, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'll give you this tonight, and I want to hit this from a little different angle tonight. The Bible said in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. This is why I cannot be a hyper-Calvinist. The Bible said the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I tell you, the Word of God said so that they all are without excuse. John chapter 1 said, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe with all of my heart tonight, the will of God for mankind is that man be saved by the grace of God. He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Now watch this now. In this present world, God, when Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, He said, Lord, He said, Father, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world. In other words, He knew that we were a citizen of another country, but we're here for now. Amen. But He said, I pray that You'd keep them from the evil. Now watch this. The Bible said grace comes. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. In other words, here's what God's saying. I want you to be in the world, but I don't want you to be of the world. I want you to be in the world, but I want you to look like a citizen and act like a citizen and talk like a citizen of another world. And I believe that. The Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Would it be fair to say that someone that will not deny ungodliness, that will not deny worldly lusts, that will not live soberly, that will not live righteously, and will not live godly, would it be fair to say that that individual is not looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it's fair enough. 1 John chapter 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3. He that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. I tell you, I believe the closer we get to Him, the more purifying we see needs to be done. Amen. In our own life. In our own life. The Bible said, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You say, preacher, what were you reading about today? Well, I read an article, and I'm not going to read the entire article. I just made me some notes here. The article was entitled, I believe, What Worldliness Will Do to a Christian. What Worldliness Will Do to a Christian. And it goes down and says, what worldliness will destroy a Christian's joy. I don't have to even read this to be able to say amen. I can look at times in my life, and you'll understand in a minute, amen, when I was not living like a citizen of heaven. I was living like this world was it, amen, and it'll rob you of your joy. It's a fog. It causes you to be deceived. It'll put a damper on your zeal for the Lord. It will destroy our peace, and it will tarnish our Christian testimony. That's what worldliness will do. Now, I didn't go into all those points and subpoints, but here's what I wanted to give you tonight. This spoke to my heart. Think about this tonight. Maybe there's not another person here tonight that this will speak to besides me. But I can see myself. At times in my life, I can see myself. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. 2 Timothy 3, Paul said that men shall be lovers of pleasure. I love how Brother Billy emphasized this. More than lovers of God. That's a sign of the last day. 1 Timothy 5:6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. All that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father. The Lord told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Somewhere in this article, I read about a man that was preaching pretty hard against sin and against worldliness. And a lady said to him one night after the revival, said, don't you think you could maybe preach a sermon on love? He said, I believe I will. Will you come back? She said, I will. She came back. His sermon on love was, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Now listen to this. I hope it'll help you. It helped me. How can we tell about this worldliness? He says, let me ask you 5 questions. Excuse me tonight. Let me ask you 5 questions. What bothers you more, a soul going to hell or a scratch on your new car? Can I tell you something about my new car the church got me? It didn't have a blemish on it when y'all got it for me. It didn't. But Brother Ralph, it's got them here, there, and about everywhere. You go to these hospitals, Brother Brian, you know it. You ain't got a chance, do you, brother? You got to back in where it's tight and pull in where it's tight. I'm going to have to lose weight just to get out of the car sometimes. Amen? Or crawl out the window. And I'm going to tell you, there's a time in my life when every one of them little dings would have dinged me down inside. Amen? It would have tore me up. Amen? How many's with me tonight? What bothers you more, a soul going to hell or a scratch on your new car? What bothers you more, a brother in Christ backsliding or your team losing a ball game? What bothers you more, an hour and a half long church service or an overtime in a ball game? What bothers you more, missing a day of work, hello, or missing a church service? What he's doing is kind of giving us a, I guess the word's litmus, is that right, Miss Eve? A litmus test to see if we're worldly. What bothers you more, missing your daily Bible reading and prayer or missing a favorite television program? Why, my goodness, since the days of DVR, we don't miss nothing. Amen. He says, if it bothers you more to have a scratch on your car than to know that a sinner is going to hell, you're worldly, with an exclamation point. Now, is there anybody in this room besides me that can look over it? I'm not talking about your sinner life. I'm talking about your Christian life and say there have been times in my life when I was worldly. I concentrated more on the things of this world than the things of that world. Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. It ain't down here. Brother Ralph, it ain't going to be a few days. We're going home. And we need to invest in home. I'm not saying that a Christian, he said, doesn't have the right to judge. I believe he does. But it isn't right to judge others and not judge ourselves. If we would judge ourselves, Paul said, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Brother Rose, I'll tell you something tonight. There's something bothers me. That's people that can you'd never have an idea that they was a citizen of another world. And they never get chastened of the Lord. You say, preacher, how come you're not still out there in the world? I'll tell you how. My father knows how to whoop a youngin' when he gets out of line. Amen? My father knows how to take care of business. Amen? My son-in-law sent this to me, and if I can find it here, just a minute, I'll share it with you. it kind of paints the same picture. Now, y'all understand here that I don't mean this, okay? I'm just sharing. It's kind of written in a, what's the word, Miss Eve? Facetious manner, is that the word? Boy, she's going to make somebody out of me after all. 12 reasons why I, as a pastor, have decided to quit attending sporting events. The coach never came to visit me. Every time I went, they asked for money. The people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. The seats were very hard. The referees made a decision that I didn't agree with. I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. Some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. The band played some songs that I'd never heard before. Brother John, that one was just for you. Amen. Brother John got up and led the choir one morning, and somebody said they ain't never heard that song before in their life. Amen. All right. The games are scheduled on my only day off to sleep and run errands. How many's following this? My parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Since I read a book on sports, I feel that I know more than the coaches anyway. I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. That was written as 12 reasons why I, as a pastor, have decided to quit attending sporting events. It is kind of silly, isn't it? Amen. Kind of silly. The excuses that people give not to serve the Lord, not to be faithful. The Word of God said our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is not of this world. How many's looking for the Savior tonight? The Bible said here, the Lord Jesus Christ, love not the world. The Apostle Paul said in one place, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Can I tell you tonight, I don't believe Demas is alone. I believe many of God's people have forsaken Him, forsaken the house of God, forsaken the Bible. You say, preacher, I don't know why you'd tell that to us. If we haven't and we don't, it'll only be by the grace of the living Lord. We shouldn't be throwing stones at them, but we should be realizing that the next one could be us. And that we're not a citizen of this world only, but we're representatives. Paul called us ambassadors of Christ. The Word of God said when the Savior appears in verse 21, He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Vile. It comes from a word that means depressed, depression, humiliation, to be made low, of low estate. Jesus knew this body wasn't going to last forever. And by the way, the one He took on in the manger, He knew wasn't going to last forever either. He said, for this cause came I into the world. He knew He was headed to Calvary. But He said, listen, Paul said, just like God changed His vile body, that body that was of low estate, that body that He condescended and became a man, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Just like that. Just like God gave Him a glorified body, He's going to give us one as well. This work, changing this vile body, it demands power, vast power. None of us, no creature can do it, but only the God of heaven, the one that said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I used to tell the men in prison often, lots of things you can't say, but I'd tell them, you can trust somebody that couldn't get themselves up if you want to. I'm just an old country boy. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up. Thank God he will. In Ephesians 1:19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? How many can say God has worked in your life in mighty power? How many can say God is working in my life in mighty power? How many can say, thank God I read it tonight. He will work in my life in mighty power. It's going to change this vile body into a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. The Bible said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand, heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. The psalmist said it like this, and I'm done tonight. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. The songwriter said, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. But the rest of the verse says, I shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. When I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness. I'll just mention this tonight. A pastor, a preacher, evangelist, missionary. We try our best. Brother Larry, you've been trying for years to tell people about this wonderful place called heaven. A place the Word of God said, where eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love Him, but they're revealed unto us by His Spirit in His Word. And I wonder, Brother Larry, how many people tried to tell the Queen of Sheba. They tried their best to tell the queen about Solomon and all of his glory and all of his riches. And they tried to tell of Solomon's wisdom. And when the queen got there, she said, the half was not told me. I believe when you and I step off in the city of God, where our citizenship is tonight, even faithful men, like we prayed for tonight, somebody will look at Brother J.W. and say, Brother J.W., you tried to tell us, but honey, you didn't get it half told. The half was not told me. But one day, we will move in where our citizenship is in heaven. Is that where your citizenship is tonight? Dustin, I don't know this, son. I haven't talked to you about this, but something crossed my mind sitting there as Brother Brian was taking prayer requests tonight. Before you got saved, you was traveling around with Brother Joe, some of those men singing. How many knows where I'm going with this? every once in a while, that had to bug you just a little bit, knowing that those men knew what they were singing about. Anybody home tonight? That's just like that song, Amazing Grace, that I sung for 6.5 years in the house of God. Stuck a dagger in me every time they sung it. I can remember looking at brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and saying, I wish I had what they had. And now I got it. And I want the whole world to have what I have. Citizenship in a far better country. A place called heaven. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I appreciate you coming. I really do. Amen. Brother Green, don't go to backsliding any further, brother. Amen. Just because them seats is empty don't mean you need to move that far back. Amen. You get further back in Houston, you're getting back there. Amen. Ain't it good to be able to have a good time? You say, preacher, you'll act a fool with somebody and hurt their feelings. If I ever do, I'll beg them to forgive me. I will. I wouldn't do it on purpose, that's for sure. I just like to have a good time. Amen. Appreciate you. Brother Merv, do you love the Lord tonight, brother? Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. I believe that, brother. I believe that. Brother Arnold, how's your pain doing, brother? Doing all right? Amen. That's good. Good to be saved, isn't it? Good to know somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land. Jesus went to prepare with His own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. Amen. Just a few more days, we'll get to go home. Amen. Appreciate you coming. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for our precious people. Thank you, God, tonight for the faithful Word of God. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body into a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed hope of the born-again believer. Thank you, Lord, that one day soon the bride and the bridegroom we'll meet in a wonderful place called heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.